got started with the teaching side of things is I would be looking, I'd have all this knowledge, and I was like, there's a better way to do this. For example, I knew not everybody would be like me and want to do a 5 weekend course throughout a year and repeat it over and over. It's like, okay, so how do we get these diagnosis stuff? How do we simplify it? And how do we get it to the GP, say, in a weekend?
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I'm super excited this week. We have an amazing guest. We always have amazing guests, but this week is another one of our fun guests because it's actually somebody I actually know pretty well who teaches within the 3D family, does a whole host of cool things that I don't do, which I don't know about you guys, but so many times we surround ourselves by people that do the same crap that we do or have the same thought process that we have or views. And so I always love talking to clinicians that do a side of dentistry that intrigues me, terrifies me. But ultimately, it's a different perspective that allows you to look at dentistry from kind of a totally different view. And that's something for me that is, as I practice longer, I've gotten to enjoy more, is when I start getting to see other sides of this amazing profession outside of my little box that I live in day to day to week. So this week, we're very excited to have none other than Dr. Matt Standridge, who many of you will recognize his voice. He's kind of a podcast guru. He's on a lot of other podcasts, but I was super excited to have him on us or on our podcast, and I've been waiting to have him. So, Matt, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, the honor's all ours because, like, I remember listening to you on, like, Dental Hacks back in the day. I'm like, who is this guy? Mainly because you were, like, one of the first people that I had heard of from a general dentist standpoint that was doing a ton of ortho. And you were just not only ortho, but, like, here, so many times people consider me, like, a digital guy. Like, I do digital dentistry. Right. And I'm like, I do so much more than that. You know, Erin Elliott's one, like, everybody assumes she just does airway. She does so much more than that. And you're one that, yeah, like, I feel like everybody's like, oh, Matt's the ortho guy, but Matt also does implant dentistry, all in X's, surgeries, crowns, restorative, full mouth rehabs. Like, you're kind of like this, like, super GP that's really just kind of really ran with the ortho side and really made a name for yourself. So I'm excited to have you on, man.
Thanks, man. Likewise.
All right. Tell me about where you're coming from right now, because I know you, but a lot of other people don't.
Yeah, so, I'm kind of in a transition right now. So my story up to this point was practice in rural southeast Kansas, a couple hours south of Kansas City. And being rural and away from specialists, that kind of forced me to either play a very, very safe game and very, you know, low risk, low reward, or I could go out and learn how to do more advanced procedures, stuff that the community and the surrounding areas needed, extraction, surgery, ortho, implant, sedation, you know, all that stuff. And so is either I go learn and do it, or I just, you know, refer. And most oftentimes, especially with ortho, they want to get it done because we're an hour away, one way to the nearest orthodontist. And so that's what kind of got me in this. I've been practicing. Yeah, 2010 is when I graduated from UMKC.
Okay, so you kind of stuck around the same area. Because right now you're in the process of moving, correct? Like,
right.
You just moved to it. You just joined a different practice. Like, what happened? What are you doing now with your practice?
Yeah, so I had two practices here in Kansas. I'm still currently living in Kansas. We'll move this summer. But back in September, I joined a friend of mine's practice down in Stroud, Oklahoma, which is about halfway between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And I'm kind of their ortho guy. I still do general dentistry, but I've taken over all the orthodontics, and we're growing that business within their office. And that's what I'm moving down there to kind of focus on, is ortho, airway, and also scaling up our in-house lab. So bringing in a lot of technology. Luckily, they already have ExoCAD and printers, which I already have, but I'm going to be bringing my five-axis mills and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things that as I want to teach more, I'm being asked a lot more to teach from, but running multiple practices and being the solo owner of two practices and all of that stuff is
Lot of
just,
hats.
is either, yeah, it's like something I had to give them. So I ended up selling those offices and, to create space for kind of the next stage in life.
All right, so dude, you've accomplished a boatload of not only just from like leadership standpoint of your education and teaching and speaking, all that, but also from your clinical skill set. As I mean, it is really kind of ramped up and you've done some amazing things. Like, what was the catalyst for you that kind of got the ball moving when you got done with school that was like, all right, this, like, how did you go from fillings and crowns from school to all the crazy stuff you're doing right now?
Man, I have to give all the credit to my start to Dentaltown, basically. I started reading that end of third year of dental school. I've even forgot how forget how I learned about it. Anyways, created an account and was, just stalking people on there. Eventually started contributing in the boards, asking questions and stuff like that. And then after that, like I created basically almost like a heroes list, people that I really respected on there. And a lot of them would be educating. And so I would just reach out to them, say, hey, can I come to a course? So Mike Melkers was one of the first ones I went to who was big in occlusion and TMD. And then, Rick DePaul through his PowerProc 6 month smiles, 6 month braces system. Go learn from him, go learn aesthetics and function from John Nosty. And so it was just like, and so I started that really right out of the gate. I kind of had some imposter syndrome from dental school. I will fully admit that. Like, I just felt like I was just beaten down from dental school. I felt like a worthless POS. And so I was just like, I almost had a chip on my shoulder. And so it's just like, and also when you get out, you just realize what's possible. It's like, okay, I'm gonna, I felt shortchanged from my education, kind of. So, and like I said, I had a chip on my shoulder. So I'm like, ah, we'll show them. And then just started hitting the ground running from continuing education wise.
Well, I think what I love about your story is that it highlights the fact that nothing happens by accident. Like, it's not like you just happened to fall into this amazing practice that just gave you all these opportunities. You sought out the opportunities. And I'm a big advocate of people that take the leap of faith and are willing to risk being vulnerable in order to ask questions, in order to move further faster within their career. And so many of like the listeners, I want all of us to just appreciate what Matt has kind of told us and the story he's telling, because if he doesn't reach out and be the proactive person on all this stuff and be open to putting content out there on Dentaltown, or it could be Facebook or Instagram or whatever, if you're not willing to do that, you're handicapping yourself and you're never going to have the opportunities to really reach your true potential within your practice. And that's one of those things that we always underestimate what we're capable of. And I don't know about you, like I look at even myself too, I'm like, you and I graduated almost the exact same time. And 8 years ago, when I'm just a relatively still a babyish dentist, or even 10 years ago, I never would have thought in a million years you and I would be here talking tonight. So it's none of this stuff happens by accident, you guys. Like, you just have to do it. Just take a leap of faith. If you're like, oh, I can't do this until then, just start doing it and start asking questions. And what I love that Matt says, he made a hero list. Because, dude, I was the same way. I was like, when I got into like what jump started my CE journey was the whole digital CEREC world. And man, I had the biggest fanboy crushes over all these, what I perceived to be these amazing clinicians. And I could have just sat there and not done anything. But then if you reach out to them and ask them, all of a sudden these, heroes of yours all of a sudden become colleagues and friends. And you start realizing like, man, we're all the same. It's just some people are willing to take that leap of faith. So I love your story because I think you really embody that. But I also think that's also what makes people fall in love with you. And from the standpoint of like, you're so vulnerable and open, and that's not threatening. When you guys meet Matt, he is not an ego person. Like, I don't think I've ever met somebody who's like, yeah, Matt, you're just a total ass because he just thinks he's the best. Like, Matt would be the first person to ask questions. He'd be like, here, you know, when he lectures, he shows his first screw ups and all this stuff. Like, it's so refreshing to have people like that in our profession. So I appreciate you, man, and what you've done and telling your story like that. Right. So like the ortho side, like I want to talk about that tonight a little bit, because not because you're the ortho guy, but because I am not the ortho guy. Like I'm going to be totally transparent. This episode is for Tim. I want to know more because ortho has always been one of those topics. Like I just have very little confidence in. And I'm not sure where that stems from. And I don't think I'm alone from that. I mean, I talked to a lot of clinicians.
No, certainly not.
They're very hesitant to get into ortho, but like, I mean, you teach ortho. Like when you look at GPs and young dentists, what do you see as the big barriers for people like myself and everybody else, like of just doing it? Like, why aren't we doing it?
Yeah. Well, I talked crap on dental schools a little bit earlier, and I've changed my position a bit because I am there now. I've kind of seen the inner workings of dental schools, and even though I've never been faculty there, I can kind of understand a little bit more where they're coming from. But at the same time, I don't know about your education in dental school with ortho, but mine was zero to none. I didn't even understand how a bracket on a tooth worked, let alone, you know, understand how to diagnose orthodontic needs. And so I think that's unfortunately kind of where it started. And then also couple that with a lot of the programs out there for, like, for example, GPs, everything right now is the clear aligner space. That's where all the money is going, is targeting to GPs to go to get trained on clear aligners. But then if you go to the certifications, it's basically, at least every certification I've been to, three different company certifications, and everyone was pretty much a variation of the same thing, of a dentist getting up there showing before and afters and look how much, you know, it's like, see, this stuff is easy, I can do it, I make so much money, all this stuff. But and this is how you submit a case, and you don't actually learn anything as far as understanding occlusion, understanding bites, understanding how plastic moves teeth, understanding attachments. Like you get none of that. And because of that, that's why it remains this air of mystery for GPs, because we don't really have a great resource. You know, it's almost, at least in my experience in dental school, it's like, you know, frowned upon if somebody who's not going into the orthodontic program even shows an inkling of wanting to learn orthodontics. Like, unless if you're going to go be a resident, then, you know, just blue pen, push hard on the referral pad. And so I think that's where a lot of it stems. And then, like I said, and then unfortunately, there are courses you can go to for companies, but most of them, their certification courses also just reinforce that. They just talk about how easy things are without talking about actual understanding orthodontics and how to look at a case. And so it's just that overall lack of knowledge. And if we're not knowledgeable, how can we really be confident? Now, there are some people who can be supremely confident and not know anything. But most of us, you know, we want to know what we're doing, right? Yeah. And so we want to know how things work. And well, that's kind of the engineer side of us.
Yeah, you nailed it from that standpoint, because, I mean, ortho is one of those weird topics because so much of the education space is so heavily tied to brand loyalty within whatever company provides the aligners or bracket system or whatever it might be, where other, you know, if you're doing a full mouth rehab or occlusion course, I mean, it doesn't, you know, using feldspathic porcelain, Emax, zirconia, like it's not so much about that. It's more about fundamentals, where a lot of the ortho, I do agree, has been very heavily tied to that. But I like what you mentioned about people making it seem too easy. Like, that's one thing that's driven me nuts, is like, all I see is before and afters, anybody can do it, just, you know, and And I'm all for just getting started, but I'm also a big advocate of like fundamental core foundational education. Where did you feel like you got the biggest kind of core foundation that was not just tied to a brand?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I started on the braces side of things back in 2011. And I actually went to a course when I wanted to learn comprehensive braces centered around non-extraction therapy. And it was a group that was teaching down in Tulsa. And I was just about 3 hours north of Tulsa. So I went down there and it was 5 sessions a year. And how it was structured was, you know, if you sign up 1 year, you can go monitor second year for free. You couldn't do the hands-on and the stuff that would take disposables, but you could go sit in on the courses again a second year. And they would have a half day on Sundays that was case reviews. And so I just went down there for, you know, 3 or 4 years straight. And so that's where I got my education from, was diving into a comprehensive world and then repeating it over and over and over and showing my cases on Sundays. And that led to, you know, about 5 or 6 years in, they asked me to start being a teacher for them. And so as an associate lecturer, that's how I started from a knowledge standpoint. But then what I got started with the teaching side of things is I would be looking, I'd have all this knowledge and I was like, there's a better way to do this. For example, I knew not everybody would be like me and want to do a 5-weekend course throughout a year and repeat it over and over. It's like, okay, so how do we get these diagnosis stuff? How do we simplify it? And how do we get it to the GP, say, in a weekend? I'm not saying that they're going to go bracket up a full case, you know, and do all these crazy mechanics after that weekend, but just know what they're looking at, you know, and understand. And I look at the space and nothing was out there. And especially I started getting into aligners in 2014, and from 2014 to 2017 took multiple certifications, and each one of them is like, they're not teaching anything. And so that was my genesis of starting doing the teaching side of things, is because I wanted to be the antithesis of the 5-session over bombardment. And I also wanted to be the antithesis of just, hey, look how easy it is. Here, submit a case and go.
No, it's the happy medium from that standpoint. Totally. All right, man. I got to ask, because I mean, from a GP standpoint, almost all of us are getting into ortho on the aligner side.
Yeah.
Like it's so much that, and there are so many options. Like I find it very confusing. You've got everything from like, you know, DIY blue sky bio, you know, mm-hmm. move the teeth yourself, to, you know, paying an arm and a leg, but having a good product tied to an interesting company, and in doing like Invisalign, or, mm-hmm. you know, everything in between with like Sure Smile and all that. And you've kind of used a little bit of everything, and then mm-hmm. you've kind of shifted towards a certain workflow right now. So tell everybody like your journey of aligners, of like where you started, how you use them, and then how you've kind of evolved into using the current workflow and products you're using now.
Yeah, so I started with Invisalign years ago. It'd probably been 2013, 2014. And again, I just didn't feel comfortable with it. I just didn't feel like I knew what it was doing or how to work with it. And so it was expensive. Like the lab costs, I was just like, it kind of put me off, because I do practice in a fairly low income area. And so I had to be mindful of, you know, fees and whatnot. So then I looked into an alternative ClearCorrect back in 2015. And again, just going through the education I didn't feel like I knew enough of how plastic moved teeth. And I would have refinements and not know what to do other than to send a new impression, because I didn't have a scanner at that time. That didn't happen until 2017. So I'd have to take a new impression, send it off again. And it's just like, it was just kind of a nightmare. By that time, I was just like, okay, I was pretty good with brackets by then. So let me just slap on some brackets and finish this up. And so and then it wasn't until 2017 when I got my first printer, and Blue Sky Plan really started, you know, coming out with some stuff on their end. The margin cleanup was a lot easier. Like the auto segment became a lot better around that time. And I also got my first Moonray. So that's when I started kind of doing it myself.
For you new Dennis, Moonray was the predecessor to Sprintray. The company was still Sprintray, but their first printer was the Moonray.
Yeah, that's actually, I still got it back there, right there.
Man.
Yeah. Classic. It is. But anyways, and so I started doing that. And then also I started diving in a lot more into aligner education, started finding some textbooks that were out there, started reading those and whatnot. And basically,
was there like a textbook? Like, I find it interesting. We live in a digital world, but I find myself like, man, when I get like, especially in the implant dentistry, when I find a good textbook or modern textbook in implant dentistry, I'm like, I'm drawn to it. Like, was there like an aligner textbook that you were like, this helped me?
So it was like self-published. It wasn't like an academic textbook, but what was his name? It was like Barry Glazer's or something. The Insider's Guide to Invisalign or something like that. Anyways, that was a real eye-opener because he started talking about concepts of overcorrection and how to use attachments in that book and stuff like that. And that made a light bulb go off because he's an orthodontist. And so he's relating these things through concepts of orthodontics as compared to braces. And I had just finished, 4 or 5 years of braces training. So all of a sudden it kind of clicks with me. It's like, oh, that's how that works. And so then I started thinking about it even more and going through, and there's two or three textbooks, but that was probably the one that really got me thinking about the mechanics of orthodontics. And it made me think like, okay, because I've been doing, braces for 5 years. I knew how they worked. Okay, this is how we achieve that movement, that same result. This is how it works with braces. This is now how we can program it to happen with aligners. And so that was my big pivotal shift on that. 2017 to 2020, I was basically doing in-house through Blue Sky. And then when COVID happened and all that stuff, and I lost some key people, I went to Invisalign because they had made enough advances, and with the iTero and all that stuff at that point, that it allowed me to kind of scale, and but without those integral people that I lost to make in-house workflow work.
And it's still a great workflow to have in your back pocket. Like I still like, I don't use Blue Sky that much anymore, but where I find it works, like where I love Blue Sky, is on my cosmetic cases, where if I just need to just do a couple little movements
to
improve the position for like veneers or so I don't have to be as aggressive on the reduction. Man, that it's such an easy, like, for those of you who haven't used it, like, it literally auto does everything for you. I don't want to dumb it down that easy, but it has gotten to the point now where it like segments the teeth and you just like drag and tip the teeth to where you want them to go. And then their algorithm is how many aligners, and you get to, basically fine tune it from there if you need to. But it's a really effective, cost effective way to maximize an in-office ecosystem of technology, whether it's your scanners, your printers, and all of that. So I still think it has a great place, but you've kind of moved to another kind of platform though. That's new to me. Talk about that.
Yep. So I would say about 18 months ago, I made the switch trying Candid Pro out. Now, at first, I was a little bit hesitant because Candid had originally started as a direct-to-consumer model. And so that had kind of a bad taste in my mouth, but it was T-Bone that said, hey, I know some people that used to be with Invisalign that have joined over to Candid Pro. Would you at least be willing to give them a try? And so, yeah, sure, I'll try. I'll try about anything. And then it was just, that's just after getting my hands on it and trying it, I just fell in love with the system. Mainly because it does a few things just better than I've seen any of the others do. So, for example, I won't name names, but there is one of the larger companies that if you look into the specs of their model printing, they're printing at 200 to 250 microns. of accuracy. Well, the ABO even says for 3D printing for aligners, they want you to have 100 microns or less of accuracy. So you have a big player out there that has half of the precision of models that even the ABO recommends. Whereas Candid Pro, they use very nice carbon printers. They use Zendura Flex, the tri-polymer, kind of state-of-the-art plastics and stuff like that. So the accuracy I found, the fit and the accuracy was great, you know, from the get-go. So that's one of them. Another reason that I love the system is that I started going back, even when I was doing it myself, I started going back to a straight cut design on the tray.
What do you mean?
Because there is...
What he means by that for those, that's like you straight cuts, like your old school, like retainer versus the scalloped, like that Invisalign kind of pioneered.
Yeah. For you video watchers, is this going to be on video?
It sure is.
So for you video watchers, look at this. This is how geeky. This is how geeky I am. I have both right here. I have a scalloped, right, versus a straight cut. But anyways, the whole reason for this.
What's the benefit? Like, why do you like the straight cut?
So the straight cut is, it allows for a lot more things like extrusion and torque. It makes that a lot more predictable. And then also, it greatly reduces the number of attachments. Because the whole reason for attachments is to put a surface on the tooth for the aligner to push against and also create more surface area. But with a straight cut, because you're getting those embrasures that are missed with the scalloped, because you're engaging on those embrasures, you're getting more surface area. And then, you know, so you need a lot less attachments. Over half of my cases I treat with, I would say 70% of my cases I treat with two attachments or less, and 50% of my cases I treat with no attachments.
So do your parents I don't know, you don't have to do that, that's HIPAA, but do you find patients, like, I mean, you've used so many different types of lines, do you notice like patients have like they prefer the fit feel of straight versus scalloped? I mean, have you noticed anything like that?
I have yet to hear one complaint or one favor one or the other.
I think they would like not having as many attachments. That I think they would like.
Yeah. The only, like, I had one patient last month, I think it was, that called a couple of days after we delivered her kit saying that it was rubbing her gums. And so I was like, okay, that's weird. It's like been using this for, you know, 16 months and I haven't heard that, but yeah, come on in. And what happened was she ended up putting it in her purse, not in the case, but putting it in her purse, and something had bent the top of the tray.
Plastic, yeah.
So it wasn't like anything that Candid Pro did. It was just, you know, anyway. So yeah, that's exactly how I say it, is just like, you know, I don't really play the name game. It's just like, you know, it's like Invisalign. It does similar things, but I like the system on the patient's reasons. The two biggest reasons I like it as a selling point for the patient is less attachments, but then also the monitoring.
Okay, talk about that.
Yeah, that's going to be the two big things outside of tray and materials that I like is, first off, when you submit a case, it's not AI driven and it's not off of an algorithm. It's not off of a 17-year-old lab tech in Costa Rica working up the case. Before I even get eyes on it, it's been reviewed by a US-based licensed orthodontist here in the States. And so that's really nice, because before, when I would use other companies, I would have to send for revision after revision, or, you know, I'd have to spend tons of time in 3D controls trying to get it exactly where I wanted. And because I would put in pretty good in-depth notes on my subscription, I don't think they ever once looked at them. And so what's nice about this is, yeah, it might take 4 or 5 days for me to get initial plan back, but it's what I asked for. And I don't, like, very rarely, less than 10% of the time, do I have to ask for a revision or, you know, a tweak to the plan. And so that's one of the big things. But then also going back to the monitoring, like we were just about to talk about. So they use an app called Pro Monitoring. So it has a scan box that they're able to put their smartphone in. It has an app And every after the initial delivery that day, when they go home, they can scan up. And then also they every 2 weeks or whatever. Now, Candid Pro, you can program 1 week wear or 2 week wear. I'm still a 2 week guy for most cases, but yeah, so they can scan in at the end of that 2 weeks. And what's nice about it is it uses AI and some of the new depth perception features in these modern smartphones to measure and to track the progress. So they're tracking the movement that should be expressed through that tray at the end of the use. And so then it will cue them up to say, yes, you're ready for the next tray. Or they'll get a red flag saying, stay in the tray for another week. Because some movements, they just might need longer to cook. Or lastly, hey, something's not right, contact the office. But yeah, that's been huge for us to scale, because now, instead of seeing patients every 6 to 8 weeks for, you know, delivering more aligners or all that stuff, I'm just tracking them remotely and through a portal.
So that's what I was like, that's where my head went. I'm like, wait a minute, if they can track, like, do I need to see them as often as I'm seeing them? So for like a quote unquote, like green light, straightforward case, like how often let me rephrase this. How many trays are you giving them before you actually see them back in your office?
So with Candid Pro, they have a very nice packaging. It's like this big box, and it has all their trays, and it has their cases. It has some extra goodies, chewies, pull-up tools, their scan box, all this stuff in a very nice, sleek package. And I just give them everything. So I don't hold trays at my office. I give them all the trays.
I like that.
At the beginning. Yeah. So especially when I had a smaller office and you just run out of storage room with, you know, all these boxes and stuff.
So how often are you seeing them for like a checkup or make sure things are tracking?
Yeah, I don't.
With your team. Okay.
Yep. I don't. I see them and I'll see them at the end.
Dude, wow. I like that. I mean, terrifies me. I'm not going to lie, because that, like, for a lot of us that have been doing aligners for a while, I'm like, that is definitely not the way we do it. And so... And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this stuff, because what I think is neat about this type of system is I think it really blends some of the things that, like, I know you didn't love them for being a direct to consumer, but I think they also learned a lot from how to do cases direct to consumer. And so when the consumer's in charge, like having then giving us the autonomy and the ability to oversight it, like, it really opens up the door, like you said, to scale the ability to not have, you know, your ortho team member or whoever your person is, or if it's you, spending all this time, you know, coming in like, oh, yep, looks good, or need a revision. So when things fall off of track, do you get notified? Do you get like an email or okay?
Yeah. So what happens is, and you also go back to the whole, going back to the Canva thing, starting at direct consumer. One of the things talking with their CEO that I gained a lot of respect for them was they started off direct to consumer, but then completely shut down that side to pivot towards working with dentists, because they knew that to get the best results, that they had to have, you know, a dental professional aspect, you know, component to it. So I have to give them a lot of credit for, you know, for being able to make that pivot, because to completely shut down your business and then retool and rework everything,
that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. They could have just let it ride until they went out in flames, but they knew that they had to make some changes. But anyways, so getting back to, you know, what we were talking about there. So for example, I just had a case come in that we're getting her in for a revision, or not even a revision, to take a look at what's going on. Because what happens with the scan is after a second red flag, so in 1 week or after their first, you know, time in trays, if they get a red flag saying, hey, you may need to stay in this another week, if they get another red flag that something's not tracking, then I get a ping. So I get a message, an email saying, hey, you know, this person failed their second attempt and all that stuff. So I'll take a look. It's still like every other week, I will still go through all the new scans on Friday just to look and see. But
so
if somebody
get
gets
to all the scans that the patients are taking then?
Exactly. Awesome. So that's why I feel comfortable not seeing them unless needed, because I still have access to all of their every single scan that they do throughout the course of their treatment. And I can compare them. I can compare dates side by side and look to see what's happened in that. So that's why I feel comfortable, you know, not having them in the office. And then I can also directly message them in the portal too.
Okay. So is it like, is it just so they, that the patients have a portal that they, you can communicate to and from the patient mm-hmm. via their portal?
Yeah. But it's one way communication. Like they can't be sending me tons of texts and all that stuff, but they do have a candid.
That's a good safeguard.
Yeah. But they do have a candid support team, which is nice. And so if there's something specific about a liner or how to use the whitening foam or what, all that stuff, the candid pro service team are the ones answering that. So it's not like they're having to call and tie up my phone lines at the office or anything.
Dude, that. So how long have you been using this now?
Like I said, for about 16, 18 months, something like that.
Okay. So, all right. So what has been the biggest challenge with this new system?
You know, I can't say it's been a challenge. It's just, it doesn't have much brand awareness yet.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So that would probably be the only challenge, but really, you know, I'm doing as many cases at a time with Candid Pro as I was Invisalign. So I think it comes down to communication and verbal skills and just, you know, educating patients and getting at bats.
So the final retainer, do they provide the retainer? Do you have to fabricate the retainer, order it? Like how does...
No, they have a retainer fabrication process as well.
At the end.
It's kind of like others. You can order 1 through 4 sets depending on, you know, what you want your package to be and all that stuff.
Dude, you blew my mind. Like I'm rethinking my whole aligner strategy right now. This whole, like, for anybody who knows me knows that I love not seeing patients. That's kind of my thing. So you just sold me on Candid Pro. So whoever the Candid Pro rep is in my area, I'm going to be reaching out shortly because I need to see this product. Beautiful. Which, like I said, it's brand awareness. Like, and that's what I love about podcasts, because I'm like, I live in my little world and I am so vested in all my other technology with other companies that it's really easy to just get suckered into their systems. And, you know, I just use this system because it fit with my workflow.
Right.
Is the Candid Pro, I got a question before we wrap this up, but is the Candid Pro system, is there any requirement based on a certain scanner? Can I use any scanner? Can I use a Medit, a Prime?
It is completely open.
Okay.
You can direct port, I believe, from 3Shape and Medit. But as long as you can export an STL, you can upload it into their portal. So you're good.
All right. The other question I have, do they have any visualization pre-workup for patients or anything that some of the other companies utilize at this point?
So they are working on that. They don't have it currently, like the treatment simulators and stuff like that. They don't have anything with like that currently, but they are working on something. Another thing that they're working on is like 3D controls. So if you want to just go in and tweak some things yourself, that's coming soon as well. I'm trying to remember, we were just at, T-Bone and I were at a faculty meeting down in Dallas last month. And so got to learn about some of the things, you know, coming down the pike. But yeah, and you know, going back to that monitoring thing, because it's interesting. We learned in that meeting that like what things excite dentists and don't excite dentists. And one of the things in their surveys that people, prospective people, weren't really excited about was monitoring. Like that wasn't a huge selling feature. But then when resurveyed after been using it, one of the biggest benefits that these people found was the monitoring. And so that's one of the things.
I don't have to see the patient as often. How is this not a good thing?
Yeah.
So one of the things I think is important to understand, like not only is this good for the practice because you don't have as many bodies in your chair and it increased profitability, the bigger thing is it helps the patient. Like patients don't want to have to come in. Like every time my kid has an ortho checkup.
Yes.
It's like a pain in the butt to try to arrange how we're getting you out of school, where we're going. Like it's more consumer value driven and
yes,
consumer facing, which I really value personally. So this whole thing gets me super excited. And I hope everybody listening to this, like, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. Like I have so many questions, but one of the things I think is really, really important to understand is that you need to look at Matt's journey is that this didn't happen overnight. He didn't go to a weekend course and then was like, this is the only thing I needed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
This is a continuing platform of education. It's one of the pillars within your practice, and ortho is so much more than just straightening teeth. It's everything from cosmetics to airway to development and growth. Like, there's just so many aspects that ortho ties into the general practice, and there's so many patients mm-hmm. that are, even if you don't treat kids, there's so many patients in your practice that need orthodontic therapy. I want everybody to just slow down, take a breath, and just get started. And I think I'm going to do a shameless plug for you, man, because I think one of the things that I love a lot about Matt and his philosophy, and I think you guys got a lot of this tonight, was the, or today, or whenever you're listening this morning, is that Matt is a bread and butter, real world general dentist. Meaning the things that frustrated him frustrated me at every course I ever go to that give me the before and after highlight reel, but don't give me any tangible, like, how do I do it? Like other than just like submitting, like, how do I have this core foundation of understanding, like, why are the teeth moving here? Why am I not getting the results I want? Why, you know, all of these aspects, that's something that's really important to Matt and how he teaches. And that's why I'm like, I think no matter where you are in your education journey within orthodontics, whether you're just getting started, meaning you've never done an aligner case ever, or you've been doing aligners for the last 15, 20 years or whatever, I do think there's value on getting more education and different people's perspectives. And what I love about Matt's perspective is it's so clinically relevant, real world, tangible stuff. So dude, I'm putting a shameless plug because for those who don't know Matt teaches orthodontics and not just aligners. Like that's what everybody wants and thinks they want, but what they really need is the bigger picture, which is what I think you do such a great job tying into. So what is it and where is it that you teach?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, we're both a 3D fam. And so I teach out with 3D, sometimes in Raleigh, sometimes in Nashville. And we just revamped the course to where T-Bone has joined the program and he's taken. And so we're splitting it up into a 2-day course where I'm doing day one of all the kind of diagnosis, didactic stuff, more of the technical. And then T-Bone and Meredith take over on day two to kind of talk the business scalability strategy, going through the classic 3D framework of
implementation.
You know,
yeah,
exactly. Awareness, communication, financial scheduling, right? And so I work with 3D and love doing that. And then I also teach more kind of technical weekends with the American Orthodontic Society down in Dallas. I have different aligner courses down there as well. So yeah, I'm kind of all over the place, but it just kind of depends on what people are looking for.
And if you really want to get a lot of Matt, he is very, very active on Facebook. You're also active on Instagram, but you were definitely one of the more active people I know on Facebook. Specifically, which group? You're with Kevin and those guys. And,
yeah.
Or at Alan Mead.
And try to contribute. Yeah, I kind of contribute to very clinical quite a bit. I try to throw my stuff on there.
Yeah, but if you ever heard of Very Clinical, go listen to their podcast because Alan and Kevin and those guys have a great podcast network as well. But if you're not aware of the Very Clinical Facebook group, you got to check that out. It's not that negative group that we're all accustomed to, unfortunately, these days. Like this is it's a group of like positive, helping people out. Look at, you know, here's what's new. Here's what's coming. Day-to-day struggles, solutions, questions. Like you got a question, it's a great place to ask. And Matt's always on there giving his feedback. If you want to check out more of him, definitely check that out. But Matt, I'm definitely going to have you back because one of the things that, as we were kind of talking this evening, that really started resonating with me was that you have such an easy approach of, I kind of want to walk through a, like from almost like consult to work up how you submit, who's doing it, how they're doing that, how you deliver the case, who's doing the IPR, how you're delivering attachments.
Yeah.
What materials are you using? Like, I want like the cookbook start to finish of a kind of like a green light ortho case that many of our listeners will be just getting starting with. So if it's okay with you, man, we're going to have you come back and we're going to dive into literally the day you're doing your first ortho case. We'll title it something like that. So My friend, awesome. I appreciate you. You're always a blast. I can't wait to see you soon in Nashville. Hang out a little bit. But for everybody else, thank you for joining us this evening, this morning, whenever it is for you. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, share with your friends. I had a really... All right, sidebar really quick before we go. I had a really cool, interesting conversation. I had talked about a podcast earlier in the year. I think it was around Halloween. It was talking about like my friend who had a brain tumor in Halloween. And what was crazy about this is my buddy who had the tumor calls me and he's like, dude, I can't believe you talked about me on your podcast. And I never told him that he was on the podcast. I'm like, mm-hmm. How did you hear about this? And his dentist in Colorado was listening to the podcast and was like, holy crap, this sounds a lot like my patient who has a brain tumor. I'm like, I bet it's him. So it's amazing how small our world is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you never know where it is, but yeah, do share with your friends. It's a growing community. We're super excited. We're going to have so many more amazing guests coming up here. For everybody else, take care and don't remember, keep on smiling. We'll check you later. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.